Good morning. Welcome each of you to the Lord's house this morning as we're privileged to worship God on this Lord's Day. As always, please take a few moments to sign the friendship register at the end of each row and pass it to the neighbor seated next to you. And also, please take a look at the announcements in the bulletin announcement flyer to learn about the food pantry needs and some activities underway here at Berry Christian Church, including the Bag Ladies meeting on Tuesdays. The Education Committee meeting will be this coming Tuesday, and the Christian Women's Fellowship installation will be this Thursday. There's also information in the flyer inviting you to join a group from Berry attending a production at the Chestnut Fine Arts Theater on Sunday, June 26th, in which our own organist, Lenora Rimmert, will be playing the keyboard for the show, and Andrew Schmidt, who's a friend of Berry, he's our former music director here, he will also be performing in that. There's also information concerning next month's Vacation Bible School. There's an RSVP form for our next Men of Faith meeting to be filled out, and you can place it in the offering tray. That will help us plan for the meal. And also there's registration information for the golf tournament supporting the Northland Assistance Center. That is scheduled for Saturday, July 30th. Before Ryan leads our call to worship, Kathy has a few words she'd like to share.
Good morning. So, have you ever done that thing where you decide, this is really important, I'm going to stick it here where it'll be safe and I'll remember where it is, and then you don't remember where it is? Yeah, I've done that with the sign-up sheet for VBS volunteers. Please, if you signed to volunteer for VBS, please sign up again because I can't find the original. Oh, yes, so wonderful. Anyway, and for VBS decorations, if anybody has like horse blankets or American Indian looking blankets, we could use those. We have a desert theme, so those would be perfect for our desert theme. We're not going to hang them. We're not going to punch holes in them. We're just going to kind of drape them over things. So, and we can put a hold on the toilet paper holders for a little bit. Y'all go through them faster than we do. So just saying. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I invite you to stand for the call to worship this morning. The kingdom of God does not come in such a way as to be seen.
No one will say, look, there it is, or there it is.
Because the kingdom of God is in you. But of the righteousness, peace, and joy which the Holy Spirit gives. So we must always aim at those things that bring peace and that help strengthen one another. We'll now sing stanzas 1 and 4 of hymn number 27, Come Thou Almighty King.
Come Thou
bow for a moment of prayer. Holy God, we give you heartfelt thanks for this opportunity to gather and worship here in the safe sanctuary that we call Berry Christian Church, and to be with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We give you thanks for the weather and for the safety we feel after a night and a week of risky storms, and we certainly pray for those who endure damage or injuries. We submit to you, Lord God, our ultimate protector, and we pray for your continued protection and guidance as the Holy Spirit moves among each of us. As our worship service begins now, we seek to feel the living presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as we pray in his name. Amen. Take a few moments to greet and welcome those around us this morning.
Okay, no kids, no story. We forgot to remind everybody that this is Promotion Sunday for our kids. So at 9:45, instead of going directly to your Sunday school class, if you would come in here, the first about 5 minutes, we're going to recognize all of our kids who have moved up during the last, well, we're trying to catch up, so some of them are from last year, some of them are for them this year, but we're going to recognize them in any case. Thank you.
In our prayers this week, please lift up Charles and Amy Roberts. Amy is going to be undergoing a surgery for cancer. That'll be Tuesday of this week at the St. Luke's East Hospital in Lee Summit. We also want to lift up Phil and Arlita White. Arlita is telling me that Phil is looking to have a left hip replacement surgery that will be at the North Kansas City Hospital, and it will be this Wednesday, the 15th in the morning. Lois Strzok, and she, you know, normally would attend the 11 o'clock service. She is now at the Cass Regional Medical Center over in Harrisonville, Missouri. Please keep Lois and in your prayers as we're looking at some long-term concerns for her. Also, Mike Ransdell did have that left hip replacement surgery over in Jefferson City and returned home the same day, and he is in the midst of recovery at his home, so please keep him in your prayers. And Shelley Taylor, the daughter of Kirby, who you know would normally come to the 11 o'clock service, Shelley is dealing with the coronavirus, and so she is isolated at home. We also lift up Bob and Judy Settles, as Bob is in the Natori Rehabilitation Center just adjacent to the Liberty Hospital. We also lift up Mary Jane and Don Hagen, as Mary Jane is under rehabilitation, also at home, a left shoulder, arm, and hand, and striving to gain use again of the left arm and hand after a fall at home. My wife, Carrie, you can see she's not at her normal spot here. That's because she's at home dealing with a sinus infection. No COVID, no strep, got all that checked out, you know, but she's at home, and she was still asleep when I left the house, so, you know, I hope she's just continuing to rest. Jill Gregory, we keep her in prayer, as well as Larry Pitts, Debbie Buzinski, Suzanne Darling, Lon Anderson, Betty and Jerry Donahue, Joan Hamilton, and John Adams has finished his radiation treatments. We're grateful for that and hope that all goes well for him. We also lift up Jean Booth and Jean Kimmerling and Rihanna Ralston. So with all of these people upon our hearts, may we bow our heads before the Lord's presence. Merciful and loving God, we express our gratitude for the privilege to once again assemble in your house to lift up worship and praise to your holy name, for the abundance of blessings received and for the assurance of life eternal granted by your great mercy, we give you thanks. Realizing that many throughout our nation and indeed throughout the world mourn the loss of loved ones and endure the loss of hearth and home through ongoing acts of violence, we seek, O God, your great comfort. As the darkness of evil intent and malicious acts hangs heavy over the lives of so many, we seek the light of hope that may abide with humanity through Jesus Christ our Lord. May we find comfort and reassurance as we draw strength from your holy word. For Jesus says of himself in John chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And Jesus also proves the strength of his power over evil, as he tells us in John chapter 12, I have come into the world as light, so that everyone who believes in me should not remain in darkness. And also in John 16, Jesus assures us that as he declares, I have overcome the world. And as each of us as people of faith strive to follow in his ways, we know that Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, that we are the light of the world, and that our light is to shine before others so that they may see our good works and give glory to the Father who is in heaven. So no matter how dark the circumstances of the worldly existence may seem, O God, may we always find great comfort in the living light of Christ's presence among us. For in truth, we offer you praise and thanksgiving as we also recite the prayer that Jesus teaches us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you. Kneeling down on one or both knees is a century-old practice of expressing humility before a higher power. Each of the stanzas of our communion hymn, "Let Us Break Bread Together," emphasizes the expression of being on our knees before God as we may partake of the elements of the Lord's Supper. It is in the breaking of bread, the drinking of the wine of our Lord's Supper, that in mutual praise to God, we are on our knees before God. As the refrain tells us, "When I fall on my knees with my face to the rising sun, O Lord, have mercy on me." So even as we may remain seated, may we be in mind and spirit, humbly envisioning ourselves on our knees before God as we receive the bread and the cup of the Lord's Supper. Our communion hymn number 425, we sing stanzas 1 and 4 of "Let Us Break Bread Together." Apostle Paul, when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Dave leads us in a word of prayer, please.
We thank you, O Lord, for this beautiful day and for the opportunity to worship you in your house. Here at this table, we remember that your Son gave his life so that we might have eternal life with you in heaven. We pray that you will bless this bread and cup. We ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. Thank you. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, that if we would only seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all other things will be added unto us. Offering our tithes and offerings before God is one of the simplest ways in which we are seeking first the kingdom of God here on earth. For in truth, if everyone first sought God's ways, the world would surely become a hint of heaven on earth through the generosity of resources that could make this happen. Kimberly leads us in a word of prayer as we receive our tithes and offerings this morning.
Heavenly Father, we come to give you thanks for all of the gifts we have been blessed with. We are grateful that you always take care of us and meet our earthly needs. We ask for your blessing on these tithes, gifts, and offerings we bring today. Please guide us as we use these funds to meet the needs in our community, our country, and our world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your glory, now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. This morning we certainly want to say hello to Warren Roberts. Warren, bless you. It's good to have you here all the way from Hawaii. Talk about a long distance commute to get to church. You know, Warren's been working in Hawaii for his company now for, gosh, I'm trying to think how many years it's been. Three?
Six.
How many?
Six.
Has it been six? Oh my gosh, I have not realized it's been that long. Somehow I had three in my head, but I am off, aren't I? Time just has a way of passing. Anyway, we keep you in prayer. So delighted you're here with us this morning. The scripture text I want to share with you, Acts chapter 1, verse 3, just one single verse, but an important one. For 40 days after his death, Jesus appeared to them many times in ways that proved beyond doubt that he was alive. They saw him, and he talked with them about what? I mean, for 40 days, here it is, the resurrected Lord. What would he want to talk with them about? It's like if you only had a very brief period of time with your beloved friends, relatives, or neighbors, what would you want to say? You knew your time was short. And yet the text tells us that he talked with them about the kingdom of God. Now, if it meant that much to Jesus to spend his time talking about the kingdom of God in those 40 days in his resurrected form before his ascension, don't you think it ought to be important for us to know what he was probably talking about? Let us pray. Merciful and loving God, as we seek guidance from your word, may we truly strive to understand what Jesus meant when he talked about your kingdom. For surely your kingdom is within us. can be here on earth and certainly is eternal. For the assurance of its great hope, we give you thanks. Amen. We would all likely agree that we are living in challenging times. Citizens of our nation are being slaughtered by the hundreds at the violent hand of fellow citizens. Authoritarian thugs are once again ruling countries and threatening the very existence of neighboring sovereign states. Drought and fires threaten the livelihoods and resources of not only our Western states, but also many other parts of the world. Badly needed grain supplies are being hijacked as starvation looms for millions. The list of deep challenges goes on with more time than I can speak about them this morning. And through all the unimaginable challenges that are being endured, the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 24, verse 21, that there will be a great tribulation such as not been from the beginning of the world until now, and never will be. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 tells us, be alert, be on watch. Your enemy, the devil, roams around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And through it all, though, the Apostle Paul gives us hope. For in the end, he tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through all the troubles, though, we can't help but wonder, where is God's sovereign power, his authority, and his presence? Why is humanity so often humanity's so often destructive free will allowed to have such free reign? Will God ever bring about peace, order, and harmony for our community, our nation, or for the world? Will God's kingdom ever come? Such questioning leads us to this text for this morning from Acts chapter 1, verse 3, where again we know, for those 40 days from his resurrection to his ascension, as Jesus made various appearances to his disciples, as well as certainly to many of his other followers, in order to prove beyond doubt that he truly was the resurrected Lord, who should be believed. And the text tells us that he also talked with them about the kingdom of God. So what does our Lord Jesus tell us about the kingdom of God? Well, in truth, all we have to do is look at what he says to us in the Gospels, and we very easily understand what he is referring to as the kingdom of God. First of all, we must understand that Jesus makes no distinction about the wording of the kingdom of God versus the wording of the kingdom of heaven. They are synonymous phrases, and he uses them interchangeably. For example, in Matthew chapter 19, verse 23, Jesus says, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And in the very next verse, he says, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. So you see, he uses them interchangeably. The phrase kingdom of God occurs over 100 times in the New Testament and is a foundational concept of Jesus's teachings. The kingdom of heaven occurs 32 times in the Gospel of Matthew. And Matthew was written by a Jewish believer to other Jewish people to encourage them to believe that Jesus is truly the Messiah. So he aligned his writings to accommodate Jewish beliefs. The word heaven is used instead of God because Jewish people did not speak or write the name of God out of awe and respect for God, and for fear that they would possibly use the word incorrectly and thus suffer the wrath of God. As Exodus chapter 20, verse 7 in the Old Testament says, do not use my name for evil purposes, For I, the Lord your God, will punish anyone who misuses my name. The second thing we understand is, as we explore Jesus' teachings in the Gospels, we realize that there are three main themes concerning the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God is a spiritual attitude, first, that lives within us. That we must understand. It is a spiritual dimension, but it is a spiritual dimension that we can experience and possess. The kingdom of God is an attitude that reflects godly ways that are expressed through words and actions. Luke chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. The text says, "The kingdom of God does not come in such a way as to be seen, nor will one say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is within you." Have you ever thought of that? The true essence of the kingdom of God dwells within you. By what you think, by what you do, by what you say. Paul writes in Romans chapter 14, verse 17, "God's kingdom is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of the righteousness, peace, and joy which the Holy Spirit gives. And when someone serves Christ in this way, he pleases God and is approved by others. So then, we must always do those things that bring peace and help strengthen one another." What we must understand is this notion of the kingdom of God dwelling within our spiritual selves, if you will, was a bit different than what was the Jewish trendy thought of the time. Because, see, many of the people, even in Jesus' day, what they wanted was a resurrection of a physical kingdom on earth in which, of course, Israel and Jerusalem reigned over the world. And so many people thought that, well, when the Messiah came, that would mean that all of a sudden, the land of Israel would be the big place on earth from which everything else would be ruled with might and authority and power, if you will. But that's not what Jesus had in mind, is it? First of all, the kingdom of God is within you, your spiritual selves. Number two, it is possible to experience a kingdom of God here on earth, but it requires a willingness to be submissive and obedient to the will of God. In the Lord's Prayer, Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, most of us know the Lord's Prayer. We know the phrase, "May your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So there can be the essence of a kingdom lifestyle, if you will, if folks would just follow the very guidelines and principles that are outlined in Scripture and use that as the priority for people's lives. It comes about even in the simplest of things. You know, like one of the things I've always appreciated about being here in Kansas City is that if I walk over to this Quick Trip across the street, and I'm approaching the door and somebody's approaching the door just before me, what'll happen? Typically, the person who is at the door before I am will open the door and what? Allow me in. That is a courtesy, not required, not necessary. It is such a huge contrast to like being in downtown of one of the big cities I happen to be living in, and I was off on a break as a chaplain, and I went over to a little restaurant not far from the hospital where I served, and I'm standing in line, you know, to make my order. Here, this guy, he has a fancier suit than I had. I don't know, maybe he saw the chaplain badge or something, I don't know. But he just runs right up and just jumps right in front of me. Well, okay, I guess you think you're more important than me. And of course, with the last name of Patience, I'm not about to get in trouble by Because, you know, after the altercation, well, the police officers say, okay, well, your name, sir? Patience. Right. But you know what I mean. What is it about this guy who thinks he can just jump in there and be so rude, but yet someone else will open the doors? You see, the kingdom of God can exist here on earth. The Hebrew nation and the laws given by God to Moses and to the people were designed to help the Hebrew nation become a living example of how God's kingdom can exist if all people are obedient to God's will and purposes. And when the Hebrew nation and the law failed, then God chose to send his only son, Jesus, into the world to be that example for humanity to follow and experience a hint of heaven on earth. Jesus said of himself in John chapter 6, verse 38, I have come down from heaven to do not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. So if Jesus was willing to be subservient to the will and guidelines of God's direction, surely so should we. And a warning comes to us in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only who will do the will of my Father who is in heaven. So, you know, so many challenging, terrible difficulties that we face as human beings here on earth are of our own making, or people so bent on following the will of Satan rather than the will of God. If more and more, even more people were willing to simply follow the design of godly living already spelled out in scriptures, there truly could be a heaven here on earth. And of course, number three, there are assurances that there surely will be a kingdom of God in the eternal realm, in heaven. Jesus says in John chapter 18, verse 36, not of this world. He also says in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except by me. Paul gives us a hint of the spiritual realm when he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, as long as we are at home in the body, we are far away from the Lord's home. For life is a matter of faith, not sight. But in John chapter 14, verses 2 through 3, Jesus gives us great assurance that heavenly realm is a very tangible spiritual realm that we should anticipate. This is what Jesus says while he is with his disciples after the Lord's Supper and before he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. In my Father's house, there are many rooms, and I am going to prepare a place for you. I would not tell you this if it were not so. And after I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back, and I will take you to myself, so that you will be where I am. And of course, you know, there's a big debate. Well, do we sleep for a while, or do we, going to the heavenly realm instantaneous? I believe it's instantaneous at death. Because again, we remember that there was one of those thieves at Jesus' side who genuinely sought repentance for his sin before Jesus, said, Jesus, remember me when you come to your kingdom. And Jesus reassures the thief by saying, this day you will be with me where? In paradise. And of course, in the Greek, that paradise concept is certainly an understanding of an eternal realm. Thus, we should consider ourselves heaven bound. As we consider the text also mentioned this church's sign, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek God's kingdom is what the sign says, but the verse says, be concerned above everything else with the kingdom of God and with what he requires of you, and he will provide you with all these other things. Now, he's not saying, oh, well, if you seek godly ways, somehow you're going to be rich beyond measure. Nope, that's not it. Because he says, seek first the kingdom of God and with what God requires, which is what? God's will. Do that first. And then what it means is that everything else will fall into place. Because what you'll actually discover is the more you focus on God, the less important all this physical stuff is going to be anyway, because you realize, it really is temporary, right? It's not the end game. The kingdom of God is. So what we've learned from Jesus' teachings about the kingdom of God is that first, the kingdom of God is within us spiritually, in our thoughts, attitudes, our actions. Number two, it is possible to experience a kingdom of God here on earth if more and more people just would work at being God. Even if the first two endeavors fail because we are so very human and sinful in our very nature, thanks be to God, there is God's great grace. And as we humble ourselves, seek forgiveness, we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, there will be the privilege to reside in the spiritual realm of God's heavenly kingdom. Does the kingdom of God exist in your attitude? Are you striving to create the kingdom of God here on earth by what you do and say? Are you certain that you are bound through the assurance of your confession of faith? You know, today, it is your opportunity to accept Christ in a way I know your life will be transformed forever. You can come forward and make that confession of faith if you've not done that. I also welcome you to come forward and become a part of the fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. As we turn to our hymn of invitation, number 625, we'll sing stanzas 1 and 4 of Precious Name.
Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take his then where you go. Precious name.
For being in the Lord's house this morning, and we wish you the very best as you journey forward with the new week. May we bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, we give thanks for the privilege to be in your house, to lift up praise and worship to your holy name, and to truly understand what your Son and our Savior meant as he spoke about the kingdom of heaven. Guide us as we journey forward, and may we always seek to do your will. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.